It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I push the magic button now and find Cynthia Hospenter. Cynthia.
Good morning.
And find Janet Manco.
Good morning.
All right. Excellent.
The magic button worked this morning.
He did it.
All right. Well, a lot of news, a lot of things to talk about, but I know it's not the top line story, but ladies and gentlemen, after years of meetings, of negotiations, of changes, the transfer station has been open for 34 minutes.
Yeah, I think Patrick's over there today taking photos. And so before we get too deep, let's talk about the transfer station, but then I want Janet to talk about our new printing format.
Okay.
But so the transfer station that serves Salisbury and Sharon is open. It's in a new location near the Milliken border as you drive into Milliken from Salisbury. And people should leave a little extra time, not only because it'll take them a little longer from depending on where they live to get there, but also there is going to be a certain amount of adjustment that's going to take place over the next few weeks, including it used to be that we could all drive our heavy loads, we could back up right up to the main garbage hopper, and that is no longer going to be allowed unless you pay a $10 per trip fee, which is going to be a big deal. Excuse me. And so the attendant, when you come in, is going to ask you, do you intend to back up to the hopper? If so, we need to get a $10 fee. So I assume they're going to be collecting cash, although maybe they'll have a charge card machine, too. We'll find that out.
Maybe they'll have Square.
holographic. But I would say, please be polite to the attendants. This is a rule. It's not, they're not messing with you. But boy, this is a moment when you really miss the late great Bullitt Sherwood, because I think when Bullitt would say, "That's an extra $10," people would mostly just listen. But I hope that we will not have people pushing back against the attendants.
He would also do, "Hey, sweetie, move that car."
Yeah. Hey. Hey, lady.
Or else he happened to know a lot of people's names as well. So, one day I was putting a poster up on a telephone pole. "Marshall, you know you can't do that." "All right, Bill, it'll take it down."
Yeah, right. Pretty, except for a few very rare instances that most people can tick off on their hands. People really, if Bullitt said, "This is the way it goes," and that was the way
it went. That's the way it went. So anyway, so congratulations. The transfer station is opened, and now the cleanup begins at the other place.
Let's talk to Janet, though, because Janet will talk about our big changes.
Janet, you've got some changes in the paper.
That's right, and our changes might not seem as noticeable or extreme as the transfer stations, that's for sure, but we changed printers this week. We are at the Berkshire Eagle now in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. We saw some synergy with them where we share a belief in local journalism, and they are independently owned, and we're giving it a shot, trying to support local, independently owned journalism in our region. So the Eagle, this is the first week the Eagle has printed for us. There are bound to be some glitches because it's, but what the heck, we're happy. We have papers in our hands. Our drivers put them out yesterday, and they are in two sections now. Don't be surprised. It says 12 pages in two sections, and it's all just newspaper. And it's a learning curve, and we'll get used to letting you know where everything is. But, it's only 12 pages. I know our readers are smart, and they will find what they want to read. We also have an index. But Compass is the start of the B section now. We had a B section for years, and it's been a long time since we have, but now we do again, and it's because of the way the press is set up, no other reason, and it's a more efficient way to print it on the Eagle's presses. So take a look, let us know what you think, and I think people will notice there are two sections, but I don't think they'll notice too much else. Different.
Now, what's great about this is what we started about 2 months ago is you have to be a local independent paper. But if you're a local independent newspaper and you cover news in Columbia, Dutchess, South County, Massachusetts, yeah, and in Litchfield County, we created a page where we take a few of the highlighted stories that link, and then we put a few lines up, maybe five or six lines of the story or the headline, and then the link to that newspaper story. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to let people know that you can find these stories, first of all, online. You might have to pay for them, but it's minuscule. Yeah. It's minuscule. We have six different digital editions that we that we pay for. And you know what? It's no more or no less expensive than buying the paper when you look at it. So, I mean, we really believe, and I think that's great what you've done by putting that synergy together. I was wondering if that was going to happen when they made their announcement about a month ago. So I think it's a good move, Janet. I think the paper looks great, by the way, set up.
Thank you, Stan. So, yeah, we'll see what we hear from others, but we're happy, and so far so good, and we'll keep this up.
All right. We'll go right to the top of the front page, and I'll start off with the two political stories because it's on the race for our district in Congress and Hayes against Sullivan.
And it's been a rough week for Representative Hayes, who I think is largely very popular, but a very ugly set of slurs on the chat on a Zoom that she did with Newtown last week. And I think it is one of those galvanizing events that will make people come out and say, you know what, this is just not how we want to be as a community, and let's make sure we vote in support of her. But also, I was just pointing this out to Janet on Instagram, weirdly. Somebody keeps posting her, her events, but instead of saying Hayes, they keep typing in Hates. So it's Hate Tears from, Kent and Cornwall. And I'm not sure they've done it twice now. I'm not sure what that's about.
And it could be it's being hacked, too.
Maybe being hacked, yeah. Because we notified them, and people are commenting on it. But you think they'd have, done something to take it down, too.
Well, there's lots of problems with social media, but we won't go into those now.
We've been doing all of the candidates in our region, and we're going to do a sum up. Either this week or next week, depending. Patrick's going to do it. We'll see how quickly we can pull that together. Patrick, always thoughtful and well-balanced. And so he's interviewed all six of our candidates, and we will have those summaries that people can rip out and take to the polls with them coming up for the November 3rd election.
And a really big story, really, on the front page is the enrollment. The figures that were sent to us, when I first looked at it, I was shocked and scared about Housatonic Valley Regional High School. But
it's
then,
bizarre.
Because Housatonic's attendance is down to 305, but that does not include a certain amount of people. I think that 305 level, but it did shock me when I saw that. But I guess there's good news and bad news, and the good news is that the grammar schools all appear to be up.
Well, so there's a lot of expectation this year because there have been so much talk about calls being made to the schools with parents inquiring about bringing their children to one of the Region 1 schools, elementary or high school, and anecdotally, people kept saying, there's tons of new kids. And so I was out Saturday night, and somebody said to me, we know that there are 50 more students at Salisbury Central, and we know that there are 30 more at Sharon Center. And so when we got these numbers, they're really not that big. So Salisbury Central is up quite a bit, the most of any of the schools. They're up 29, though, not 50. Sharon Center School is up by 6, which is a large percentage. Cornwall School is up, I think, about 15. And there are some out-of-district tuition students. I understand, anecdotally, that about a third of those are at Cornwall and a large percentage of those are at Kent. So, and then Housatonic has 15 out-of-district tuition students, which is a lot. And people wonder why there are out-of-district students. A lot of it is people coming here for the ag program, which is so outstanding, from other parts of the state and from Massachusetts. But it was really stunning. The first number we got was 319 at Housatonic, which is larger than what the actual number is, but is still much lower than the prior 3 years. So we broke it out into a chart that James Clark made beautifully for us.
Yeah,
but
really
we're, steadily decreasing in a year when we thought we would see more. So we'll hope that those elementary school students do stick around in the region and will continue on into the high school.
All right. Inside, you've got Whitney Joseph has the story about the tragic story out of Aminu where the young child died in that accident.
That is a horrible story. And there was a motorcycle crash in Aminu, I think, on Tuesday. Yep. And then there was another one.
An ATV turnover. A guy driving a pickup truck in his backyard died in an accident. It was just a horrible,
horrible week.
For
Aminu, yeah. So this is one of those horrible stories where a young mother was driving in Aminu. I think, was it near the train station? Southbound on Route 22, and she stopped while somebody made a turn, and somebody, right at this time of year, as I noticed as I was driving here, the sun is so low and so bright, and somebody didn't see that she had stopped, and the police are saying it was partly that he was distracted and partly that the sun was in his eyes, and he hit the back of the car, and the child died, and I just can't imagine anything more horrible.
Those back-to-back-to-back stories, we were just devastating when you look at them. I want to move on to the story, though, about the housing, affordable housing plan in Salisbury. It's funny, I watched the video that we took of it, and I looked at the pictures, and it's a large building that they're putting up. But then again, I kind of looked back in some archives, and the building that was there before, many years before that parking lot, was not a small building. I don't know whether it was quite as large as this, but once again, Falls Village had their meeting end last night, and they're going to vote on it next week or the week after. But a lot of concern once again about the housing plan in Lakeville.
Right, and we've had a lot of letters from people, and to their credit, the letter writers are all saying, you know what, we do support affordable housing, and it seems like on paper, it seems like a perfect place to have affordable housing within walking distance to town. And it is on a state highway, so it's not like you're adding a lot of extra cars to a fairly quiet residential district. But it's at 33 feet tall. That's, I think, roughly four stories, which is, you know, not nothing. And even the Planning and Zoning Commission members are saying, that's pretty high. I think that the rule on height in Salisbury is based on the stretch for the longest ladder on the biggest fire truck, which I thought used to be 32. So maybe they're already planning in some negotiation room, but we'll see. It sounds like it's going to come back, and it's going to be a little bit modified. And then, yes, in Falls Village, where there's also another very heated conversation going on, apparently last night's meeting was quite hot, but the hearing is closed, and they usually have 30 to 60 days to vote.
I think that the location is great in Salisbury. I think in Lakeville, I think that they'll rearrange those plans a little bit. But do you remember when Hotchkiss built the new gymnasium and the swimming pool?
Mm-hmm.
It came in. It was about 2.5 feet higher than it than the regulations. And the way they got around it was they just they built up the land.
Yeah, they built up the land. The Ackerman House, that was the setter of the new way that people respond to these regulations, but the Ackerman House over on Lakeville Lake, that was so controversial. It was written up in the New York Times. And they said, this is the beginning of the end of what old Salisbury was like. And what they did was they wanted a very, very large house on that lake. And in order to make it happen, the way that they measure the height is they take an average from around the building. So they re-landscaped so that there were berms, so that the average height of the building was brought down. So we'll see. There's not really a lot they can do with landscaping around this site. It's a pretty tight site.
Yeah. All right. And right next to that story, the North Canaan Railroad project begins. It seems like I remember that. I think this is the third time in the past 40 years that that crossing has been fixed.
Yeah, and has been discussed a lot. And I'm just looking at the Republican American, Bridget Ruthman had a story this morning about one of the workmen got killed yesterday. Somebody from Monterey, Mass.
Yeah, just north of that site. Yeah, working on the railroad. Yeah, that's right. Once again, it's just a devastating week here for.
A horrible week and a horrible year. But yes, there's going to be a lot of work going on in North Canaan. So far, they've been working on the tracks, so it hasn't really impacted traffic, but it will. But in the long run, it should be better for everybody.
All right, and Lila Hawken, looking for safe ways to hold an annual town meeting.
Which is a big question, and a lot of our towns have their town meeting in January. Some of them have them in October, November. So it'll be interesting to see. Of course, the annual town meeting is very important. They accept the audit and the town report, and not that you couldn't have them online. A lot of people have been having their town meetings online, and actually often have a much larger turnout. So we'll see what they decide. And then, of course, the much discussed West Cornwall septic plan. It looks like there's some movement going forward on that, and that hasn't been resolved yet, but it looks like it's gone from the theoretical to the practical.
All right. And you've got a nice story there on the background of the new CEO, who's smiling because he's just starting.
He's just starting, I know. But you know what? He's also smiling because he gets to work with Cheryl Dunst, who's in that office, who's just the greatest. So that's going to be a very fun office to visit, and I anticipate a lot of people will be hanging out once town halls are open again. But he's got a fascinating background and is really taking a deep, hard look at those regulations. And he's an attorney, so, those planning and zoning regulations really are like they're Delphic. They're very hard to read and understand. So he's looking at ways to make North Canaan's regulations easier to follow and to make their applications a little easier to fill out.
Now, Sharon is going to allow trick-or-treating this year for Halloween, but there's also in North Canaan that there's safety guidelines that North Canaan has put out for Halloween trick-or-treating.
I think the general sense is, you know, and it's in Salisbury, we still haven't got resolution, and Salisbury is actually a town where they close off a certain number of streets. In Sharon, there's always a lot of support from the constables and the state police because a lot of people come in from New York State and from the area to trick-or-treat on the green and down in the valley. And towns are really not sure what to do. And so in North Canaan, they were discussing it, and they said, well, you know, these kids have been cooped up a lot, and they really need to get out and run around. But I think a lot of people are going to feel nervous about it. I mean, I was talking to my neighbor who is, I would say, fairly plugged in at Salisbury Central School, and she said, no way. But we'll see what actually happens on Halloween. I think we'll have some candy in my house just in case, but I anticipate that a lot of houses will have their porch lights off.
All right, and then you've got, of course, stories about Chris Sorrell, a new barbershop in Canaan, and keeping everything sanitized in schools.
Patrick, very happy with his cut from the new barbershop, and Chris Sorrell, very beloved as a Salisbury resident state trooper, and he was the one that famously caught the bank robbers who had knocked off the Torrington Savings Bank about 2 or 3 years ago. And talking about getting regional shared custodians, of course, this is a time when we really want all of our schools to be clean.
And a couple stories about New Vance. First of all, they're looking for COVID-19 patients for a clinical trial. And also, I think it's a pretty big story, which we talked about in an interview. Women can now self-refer for their mammogram appointments.
Which is such a great thing.
Yeah.
And, of course, all women should, you know, we hope that you will all have a doctor, and especially with affordable care, take advantage of it while it's there. And do get your physicals and your checkups. But, you know, I know that when I go to gear for PT, you don't have to have a doctor order, and it just makes life so much easier. So Sharon Hospital, you can now phone up, and just based on the way that the flu shots are going, you know, don't delay. Call up and get your mammogram appointment.
I like your story that you did on Halloween guidance with the pictures. The CDC wants people to skip it, but you know, we're into a zone now, and Janet and Cynthia, we're Halloween is a family event. Thanksgiving is around the corner. We're now getting understandings that they really don't want families to gather on Halloween as well. I mean,
yeah, which for a lot of families is going to be when it may be a less stressful Thanksgiving. But the CDC, you know, even as our towns are discussing it, and you know, the governor came out with his guidance was basically like read the CDC guidance. But so they said, yeah, you really should not. They didn't say you can't trick-or-treat, but they said it's a high-risk activity, and people should really think twice about doing it. And they said, you know, maybe think about doing other things. I know in Litchfield they're doing an interesting thing where they're having a fire truck go around, and they're throwing bags of candy on lawns, which I think is kind of a neat idea.
That is a neat idea. It's like the Salt Lakeville Host Company for Christmas. Santa can come to your house. There's only limited numbers, but you can contact the host company, and Santa will be on a fire truck and come to your house, which is kind of cool. There's different ways you can get around these things. It just takes a little foresight.
A little thought. And just, you know, people, it's interesting to watch. My daughter was saying there should be a psychology study in this, is the way that people sort of draw the line on what they consider to be safe or unsafe. And so that I have many friends who will do something that is just completely unsafe, and then they'll completely freak out if you're doing something that they think is unsafe. That, you know, it's all a balance. And so I think that the more that we can err on the side of being overly cautious is good. And we just got our first announcement of a cancellation of Parade of Lights for the holiday season.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's going to be happening a lot, too.
Yeah. Let's go to the, before we get to Compass, let's go to the opinion pages. Lots of letters and your editorial. Basically, Janet explains a lot of what's going on with the paper and what you've done, next steps for local journalism.
That's right. It's a continuation from last week. And what we talk about this week is another change this week is that our cover price has gone to $2 for each issue. So we explain the thinking behind that, and we hope that it's not a particular hardship for our readers. And, of course, anyone who had a subscription going, that is good until it lapses at the current price, but subscriptions have gone up in price, too. But do read the editorial, and you'll see what's behind all that and what our company is doing and thinking and who we are. Lots of letters. Two and a third pages worth, really. We had room for a couple of columns, too, from Carol Asher and Dick Ollis. But do read these letters, lots of political ones, but also a good one from Anna Tamel in Cornwall what COGS really do, Cornwall history, Ben Gray wrote about, lots of interesting things our readers are thinking about.
All right, I love, it's small this week, but you'll like to fly at Peter Steiner's cartoon. Let's talk, we've got about 2 minutes left, about Compass.
So Compass is now starting off the B section, and which makes it the B section and the C section simultaneously for us. So one of our advisors is named Gavin Berger. He lives in Millerton, and he's recently become involved with something called the Ripley Waterfowl Conservancy in Litchfield, and he was telling us about it, and it sounded so great. And we've been trying to do day trips while the weather is still nice. So, and of course, the assumption with all of these things is that you'll wear a mask, you'll socially distance, you will, you know, do your best to protect yourself and other people around you. But we went over to visit the Ripley Waterfowl Conservancy and found it was so much more than just ducks and birds and geese and cranes, but there's actually a guy there who we were lucky enough to have take us on a tour who's one of the world's most sought-after aviculturists, and which means that they breed rare birds there, which I thought was going to be like a test tube thing, but it's not. It's very kind of love boat. You know, they're like, well, you know, you have to get them in the right mood. You have to make them feel safe. You have to protect the babies once the eggs are laid. And you have to make sure that they have the right food and the temperature is right for them. So it's a really fascinating place. Really not set up for sort of, you know, a family outing where the kids can run around. You know, there's very special rare birds there, and they don't really want them scared or disturbed. But it's a perfect place if you really want to learn about birds, which so many of our people in our area do. Really thoughtful, informative tour. This guy, Andrew Ocampo, also does raptor events, and there's a falcon there that's so beautiful, and it's sitting on its perch with its fierce look and a little bell on its ankle. So we did that and then popped out of the property, and we're immediately right on Route 202 and near some of my very favorite food places, including Dutch Epicure with the great licorice and the wonderful cookies and breads, which now I can't fit into my pants, but really good food there. And then you have the three Arethusa places, the cheese, the ice cream, the wonderful sandwiches, and then next door to that, Bantam Bread, and then, of course, the famous Patty's Coffee Shop. So if you're looking for a way to get out and an excuse to go driving around in this beautiful weather, bring your mask, bring your gloves, observe social distance, but go have some fun. And then for my daughter, who loves Halloween, we have horror films that are coming up at the Mahawi, which is now allowing people to sit in the theater again. I'm not sure how they are setting it up, but it's limited capacity, social distance, indoor films. And then the center at Rhinebeck is doing outdoor films projected on a barn with a 40-foot wide screen. So, of course, they're doing horror films also. Crescendo, still active, still amazing. Christine Gebert doing such incredible things there, and they're doing online. Christine loves to do a very profoundly challenging, intellectually interesting musical performance, and now she's doing videos where people explain the background on music and simple things from Baroque trumpets to some of the more complex music that they do, so the information on that. It's almost time to start thinking about holiday wreaths, and there's a project that's being done by Connecticut Landmarks where they'll deliver you your, or you can pick up your wreath fixings at a number of places across the state. Clayway Studio Tour is going to be this weekend. I will be there. It's going to be great. There's 15 potters in 9 studios. The map is online. And beautiful photos from Laszlo Gyorsik. It's redundant to say beautiful photos from Laszlo because his work is always so meaningful. But during the quarantine, he's been going to people's houses and just taking photographs of them and sort of asking, what are you doing during the quarantine? And, you know, more of a photo thing than a word thing. But we did have the summary here of what he's been saying. But there's going to be a display now at the Cornwall Library until November 14th.
All right. Well, we're out of time. We're out of time. We're flat out of time.
Okay. Bye.
We will speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You'll find them at tricornernews.com.